Support for programming on NET Radio comes from the Archway in Kearney, spanning I-80 at exit 275. The Archway presents a family-friendly exhibit that brings American history to life. More at archway.org. And Union Bank, celebrating 100 years of helping families and businesses in Nebraska, looking forward to the next 100, offering customers personal and business banking, as well as wealth management services. Union Bank, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to Friday Live here on NET Radio, live from the mill in Lincoln's Haymarket. I'm Genevieve Randall. It's an exciting time right now as schools are back in session and performing arts seasons are gearing up all across the state. We'll learn about fall performances in Norfolk, Kearney, and Lincoln this morning. Plus, a number of arts events are happening for First Friday tonight, as well as a couple outdoor arts events tomorrow in Lincoln and next weekend. All that and more coming up on the show. I'd encourage you, if you haven't tried it, to try watching the show this morning. We stream video each week, and this week is a good week to practice so that you can also stream video on next week's show when we will broadcast from Crete at Doane University. So to watch, go to netnebraska.org, click on the button that says Live and On Demand. This morning's show starts with artist Craig Roper, who opens his show at Iron Tail Gallery in Lincoln tonight. That opening is from 7 to 10 p.m. It's nice to have you on Friday Live this morning, Craig.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you very much, Genevieve.
Good to have you back. So this exhibition of your work is from your Infinite Landscape project, and this event that I saw on Facebook, you've called it, I Live in My Own World, and I'm Happy Here. So what's your world like?
Well, you know, I'm approaching 62 now. It just seems like I look back at life and things have been going pretty well. I've been pretty lucky. And I've been able to do one of the things I love the most to do for 40 years, which is to make art. And I feel good about this show. I have actually two separate bodies of work in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a hard time pricing my work.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Of course, artists love to sell their work, but something I'm doing different this show is I'm giving it all away to the first come, first serve who make it into the gallery.
I noticed that on Facebook, and I thought that was something really different.
I think it's pretty, I've never done it before, yeah, sure.
what have people been saying about the opportunity to have your work for free? I mean, on either the artist or non-artist side.
I haven't really heard a lot of feedback yet. I'm sure I will tonight. I think some people get what I'm doing. You know, it's hard for an artist to make a living off of doing their work.
Uh-huh.
I know that. And like I said, I've always struggled with pricing, and I kind of came to the realization that what I really want is people just to like it and maybe take care of my work, you know, for me. And so this is kind of my way of maybe realizing that. We'll see. I'm very nervous about it because you kind of wonder, God, you're going to have a show and you're going to give it away and nobody will show up and nobody will want it, but we'll see.
Well, here you are
it's
on the radio,
risk.
Craig, so you never know. There might be some people listening who
there
will.
Might be.
How many pieces are there in this show?
There's 23 now.
23?
There were 22, and it's two different bodies of work. One I call my infinite landscape work, which involves mirrors, photographs, and some objects like rocks and even opals and diamonds, even though the diamonds are actually zircons.
Uh-huh.
And then another body of work that's very minimal. It's actually paintings that are made out of a pickup truck bed liner spray, but they have very colorful frames.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them I have shot with guns, kind of like a road sign that you see that's been pummeled with bullet holes.
Yeah.
And all my work references the landscape or something about the Western landscape. So, like I said, even though I'm giving this work away for free, it's not just a hodgepodge of odds and ends that I have laying around that I just want to get rid of. It's a solid body of work that I'm very proud of.
I do find it interesting, the materials that you use, because I think just generally speaking, you know, if you just pick your average person on the street and you say, I'm an artist, well, they might get a mental image in their head of the kind of material that you use. It might start with sculpture, it might start with painting, but truck liner paint might not be the very first thing. Or even guns and bullets might not be the very first thing they think of as the tools for your work.
Uh-huh. I use a lot of things. I use rocks and chicken wire and cardboard and now mirrors and all kinds of material. This show doesn't have a wider variety of materials that I've used in the, you know, over, you know, during other shows. But yeah, I use a lot of different things. I'm not a photographer per se, and I'm not a painter per se. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a landscape installation artist.
I gotcha.
So I use elements out of the landscape.
When I look at your work, it does feel, I feel like it's based in Nebraska or that it reflects Nebraska. Are you from Nebraska originally?
I am from Nebraska, born and raised in Lincoln. Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah, I moved away in the 80s. I lived in Santa Barbara, California, in New York City. So poor me in my 20s. Not too bad.
You bet.
But moved back here when I was, I think when I was 34, something like that. So I've been here a long time.
Now, at the event tonight, there's music, and it's described as groovy on the Facebook event. Who's playing at the event tonight?
Julia Williams, who are providing French accordion music. And the Talon Room will be providing cocktails, beer, and wine. And then we'll have a food tent outside, dishing up either tostadas or nachos, but really good ones.
Wow.
Not your typical. So it should be a fun evening with
food, French accordion, and free art.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm actually kind of nervous about it now. I wasn't. I was really. But anyway, now it's coming down to the, you know, show time. So it'll be a fun night. I hope a lot of people turn out, and I hope all my stuff is claimed by the end of the night. I'd be super excited, and I'd consider it a huge success.
We should note there's a caveat because it does have to stay up for the month.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. The show will stay up for a full month.
Right.
Because I want to see it, people to view it as a show, a typical classic show of, you know, a month-long show. And then those who have claimed a piece can pick it up that last week.
All right.
Yep.
Artist Craig Roper, he's celebrating 40 years of creating at the opening of his show at Iron Tail Gallery in Lincoln tonight. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. His work will be on display there through the month. Craig, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Stay with NET Radio's Friday Live to hear about work from the Sheldon Art Museum coming to a town near you and about a photo exhibit and musical performances at Norfolk Arts Center. Challenging, informing, and inspiring. This is NET Radio and netnebraska.org. Thanks for listening to Friday Live here on NET Radio and netnebraska.org. My next guest this morning is Sophia Potter, board member with Lincoln Friends of Chamber Music, and that organization is heading into its 53rd year of presenting chamber music concerts in Lincoln. The first concert of the season is Thursday, September 7th. Sophia, good to have you back on the show this morning.
Wonderful to be back, and I'm excited about our first concert.
Well, yes, it's a season starting off again at a unique venue and with a unique quartet, to be sure, the Spectral Quartet. What do you think listeners should know about this quartet?
So Spectral is a quartet based in Chicago, and they really play a whole bunch of different genres of music. They're not just playing traditional classical music by dead white guys. And for this particular concert, they are going to play a few dead white guys, but they're also doing some works by living composers who are based in Chicago. So it's gonna be a really neat sampler, and I know they're going to do a great job of talking about the music and kind of bringing listeners in.
At least two of those dead white guys are two of my favorites, Brahms and Ravel.
Correct, yes, two of my favorites as well.
So that'll be kind of a nice mix with some of the other composers, which listeners may not have heard of before. And if you link to Lincoln Friends of Chamber Music website through ours on the Friday Live page, you can check out that program that's coming up. A nice mix of traditional and modern or current. So then, after Spectral Quartet, that concert this Thursday. The rest of the season is back at the Johnny Carson Theater at the Lead. We should have mentioned, I don't think I said it, Spectral is at Vega.
Yes, they are. Yeah, this is our second concert that we've done at Vega. WinSync was there last year, and it was a great experience for everybody.
Yeah, just right around the corner from where we are in the rail yard. Chamber music in a kind of a bar-type setting, which
yes,
is kind of cool.
Yes, so a little, you know, I think of it as a little bit less intimidating, especially if you've never been to a chamber music concert before. You can go there, have a drink, have some snacks. Who doesn't love snacks and Brahms?
Yeah, there you go. That works for me. So who's on the lineup then following the Spectral Quartet concert?
Well, in October, we have the Dorian Wind Quintet coming. They've been together for a number of years. We're really excited to be bringing them in, kind of co-presenting them with the UNL School of Music. And they'll be doing some really neat programming, including some arrangements of Bach for Wind Quintet.
Cool. Very nice.
And then in January, on the 26th, the Ataka String Quartet will be our traditional string quartet that we like to present every year, kind of your meat and potatoes. They'll still be doing some kind of unconventional works, including a quartet written for them by Caroline Shaw, who's one of my favorite living composers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will close out the season with the Lysander Trio on a, hold your hat, on a Monday night. I know.
Oh.
but stick with me on this. We had Lysander about 3 years ago. They were absolutely spectacular. We're so excited to have them back with a guest clarinetist, and they'll be playing works exclusively by composers who were displaced by World War II.
Oh, so an interesting program there coming up from Lysander Trio. And are there outreach or other events that artists are doing when they're in town, too?
Yes, I believe all of the groups will be doing some outreach either to public schools or homeschools or to School of Music for master classes.
Okay. I've been talking here with Sophia Potter about this year's Lincoln Friends of Chamber Music series. And that first concert of the series features Spectral Quartet performing at Vega in Lincoln. That's this Thursday. Also, NET helping there out with as a media partner there for that event. September 7th, doors open at 6 p.m. at Vega. The music starts at 7 p.m. Sophia, thanks for talking with me about the season.
Thank you so much.
A unique venue for an event in Lincoln is also the Sunken Gardens, and we'll learn about an arts event there coming up ahead here in about 15 minutes on Friday Live here on NET Radio. The Sheldon Museum of Art is located on the UNL campus close to downtown, not too far from where we're broadcasting from here today. But they also have an outreach program that brings work from their collection to communities across Nebraska. And Assistant Curator of Public Programs, Abby Groth, with Curator of Academic Programs, Carrie Morgan, are both here to talk about this year's Sheldon Statewide Tour. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. This year's is titled Meet Your Match. So what is the meaning behind that name?
So Meet Your Match is a concept that actually developed out of one of our permanent collection gallery ideas. And that's the concept of pairing together two diverse works of art that you might not necessarily think would go together. But by placing them close to one another, you can create interesting juxtapositions, interesting conversations emerge. And we're really just trying to get people to think more carefully about what they're looking at. Maybe to look at things in a new way, to think about different issues that might emerge when they see something in one style next to something completely different.
Yeah. The first stop on the tour of Meet Your Match is at Shadron State College, September 1st through October 1st. What are some of the other locations that this is going to tour?
So from Shadron, we'll then take the show to North Platte, followed by McCook, Nebraska. And then that concludes the fall portion of the show, and we'll bring it back here over the winter break. And then in January, we'll start up in Seward. We'll go to York, Fremont, and Fall City.
And then is it the same pieces on display at each site? How do you work that out? Because I know different places have different logistics. How do you work?
Certainly, yeah. The same pieces will go to each site. However, there's definitely a configuration process that happens at each location. It won't look the same at every site, but the same pairings will be placed together, and we'll have the same selection of artwork.
So you were talking about getting people to think about these pieces. As listeners who see these works coming to their communities or nearby, what are some things that they might look for in this collection, or questions that might connect them with what they're seeing?
Well, we really hope that when people look at pairings, that they can use their own world experience to relate back to what they're seeing. So, for example, we have a photo by Gordon Parks of African-American children looking through a chain link fence at a white playground. And this is a photo from 1956 in Alabama, when segregation was still a part of society, at least institutionalized segregation. And we have that paired with a photo by a street photographer named Enrico Sarsini of an older woman standing outside a department store window. Inside the window is a bride mannequin. So we're trying to get people to think about maybe what are some situations when they've been separated from something, or they felt left out or ostracized, and how can these images help them maybe think about issues of justice or issues of citizenship or relationships that they might have with others in their life.
And then in addition to Sheldon statewide, there are all kinds of other things going on at the Sheldon throughout the year. And Carrie, would you like to talk about anything specific that's coming up at Sheldon?
Well, as a matter of fact, tonight we have our first Friday, our Big Red Welcome event. Abby's been involved working with some of our student volunteers to plan this. I know we're going to have ice cream and some music and some fun activities. So it's the September 1st Friday is usually pretty big, and people are excited to be back on campus and check the Sheldon's new shows out for the fall.
What time do those festivities get started?
They begin at 5 and we'll go till 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay, so first Friday events in addition to Sheldon statewide here under discussion here with Abby Groth and Carrie Morgan from Sheldon Museum of Art here in Lincoln. Abby and Carrie, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Genevieve.
Glad to have you back on the show. The Sheldon Museum of Art, by the way, was closed for 3 weeks in August, and then just before reopening, Friday Live associate producer Dave Hughes went to this museum open house, and you can tour the facility with its freshly repainted galleries with him as he takes you on a kind of audio tour of the Sheldon Museum of Art. That's in this week's Friday Live Extra. Go ahead and listen online or download the extra at our website. That's at netnebraska.org/radio. Thanks for listening to Friday Live here on NET Radio. My next guest is Executive Director for the Norfolk Arts Center. Kara Weander-Gaster is here to talk about their Performing Arts Series, which gets started September 20th. Also, first Friday events happening tonight and a couple of other things. Kara, great to talk with you again.
Good morning, Genevieve.
Great to have you here this morning. So what's going on tonight for First Friday?
First Friday is the first Friday of each month, which happens to be today. So this evening we'll invite Norfolk's creative community into the gallery, and we'll celebrate what we have here. We'll have some artists. I know the theater is coming in to do a little part of their play that's happening this season. And we always have musicians and poets. It's just a great night to get together and enjoy the creative culture of Norfolk. And it's free.
And now in a few days, September 7th, Hildegard Center's Bridges Project is going to be at the Norfolk Arts Center. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I'm so excited. You know, this is one of the Nebraska 150 events that are happening across the state. So the Hildegard Center had put together a photo exhibit, which they are touring around. And it has one photo from each county. I think you had them on the show, so you guys know about
yes.
it. But yeah, it's a super great show. We're excited to be able to celebrate Nebraska's 150 with this event.
And listeners can certainly link to some more information about that as well through our website. If you look for the Hildegard website, there's even more information about the photos that you'll see at Norfolk Arts Center. Now, when the center there hosts performers on your performing arts series coming up, where do those performers play and perform?
Genevieve, we use a variety of locations here in Norfolk. We'll be starting our season with Emmett Cohen, and Emmett will actually be playing here at the Art Center itself in the gallery. We've started this series of gallery events where you can come and enjoy great music while you enjoy the atmosphere and the artwork that's in the space. So it's a nice night to get out. We make it super affordable for people. And Emmett is coming to us, you know, from the East Coast, from New York City. He's a internationally renowned jazz pianist, so we are excited to have him in Norfolk, Nebraska.
And then do you want to give us kind of a survey of your October performers as well?
We try to offer a theater experience for everyone in kindergarten through 12th grade, and we really get a good audience from throughout Northeast and North Central Nebraska. We bring in these performers, and we do them during the school day. So we have two happening in October. We start with Todd Green, and Todd's coming to us from the West. He plays a variety of instruments, and then he shares the knowledge of the history of the instruments, how they are played, how these international instruments connect with our Western instruments. He just has a fabulous program. That's kind of for junior high kids. And then we also have a public performance mm-hmm. that will happen here at the Art Center, and that's on October 13th. And then we follow that up later in the month with Chicken Dance. And Chicken Dance is the name of a book, but also the name of the play that it's based upon. That's coming to us from New York City. Arts Power USA is the name of that performing group. That performance is for younger kids, the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be having that Thursday, October 26th. And there's two performances, so we'll have all the kids in town for that.
And again, working backwards, October 26th, that's Arts and Power USA with Chicken Dance, which sounds fun. October 13th will be Todd Green. I just like saying Chicken Dance.
Yeah, I know.
September 20th, the Norfolk Arts Center hosts Emmett Cohen. And then tonight is First Friday. I've been talking with Executive Director Kara Weander-Gaster about all of the fall events coming up there at Norfolk Arts Center. Kara, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Genevieve. Have a great weekend.
Serving your community anywhere that might be, NET Radio is Nebraska's public radio network. Online, netnebraska.org. Did noisy traffic or a loud passenger in your car just interrupt your Friday Live experience at some point this morning? Well, no worries. The digital world has given us a do-over. We do podcast this show each week, and you can look for that later this afternoon on our Facebook page or on our website. That address is netnebraska.org. Lincoln's Art in the Garden is September 9th at the Sunken Gardens on the southwest corner of 27th and Capitol Parkway in Lincoln. Julia Noyes from Noyes Art Gallery is here to tell us about it, along with artist Jana Harsh. Thanks for stopping by this morning, both of you.
Yeah,
thank you,
Genevieve.
So nice to see you again. And the name is good for Prince fans. Purple Rain is the theme for Art in the Garden this year. How many years has Art in the Garden been happening?
This will be our fifth year.
And has it always been at Sunken Gardens?
Correct.
Okay. It's a unique venue. I know you can have weddings there and all kinds of things. How did you guys find out you could have an art show there? When did that idea come up?
We talked to him about 6 years ago. So Steve Nozzle and Alice Reed, who are the chief designers of the garden, we were talking together, and they said, oh, my gosh, we would love to do that. We've always wanted to do that. But because of Lynn Johnson's okay and wanting to do that. He's the director of the Parks Department.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it was a collaboration. So we worked together intensively with the Parks Department.
Very cool. And how many artists will be at the Sunken Gardens for this event?
Almost 60.
Almost 60. That's a lot. And you are one of those, Janet.
I'm one of those, yes. It's wonderful to be able to show your art in such an artistic setting. Just the design of the garden itself has so much thought and so much color and beauty. And then you bring in your plans, your thoughts, your designs, your creations, and it's great. I love being able to have my work out in front of people that maybe can't make it downtown all the time or aren't able to come to the First Fridays, which we've got going tonight. We're looking forward to that.
We'll get to that First Friday in a second.
Yes, First Friday. Excited for that, but I'm really pumped for the 9th also, because then you get to talk to a whole bunch of other new people and expose people to that. Say, hey, we're here.
And there's all different kinds of art with that many artists being there. And let's let listeners just get to know your work just a little bit. You want to tell listeners about what you do, kinds of things you create?
We are all about variety, and I like to think do something somewhat different. One of the media that I work with the most frequently is on brushed metal surfaces. So I'm working on steel or copper or aluminum and using a flap wheel grinder to create a reflective pattern and then painting with thin coats of fast drying oil paint over that. So being outside in the garden and watching those works change, they change with light. And so the angle of the sunlight, the way the sun changes throughout the day is really, really fun.
And Jana, just as a point of interest, before we come back to talking about either event, the Sunken Gardens event or First Friday tonight, you and I were speaking before we came on mic about an interesting show that you travel to with your work.
Well, every artist has to figure out how do you get your work out,
right,
not only locally, but regionally or whatever. And since I have figurative work and my figure of choice is horses, I take the horse art to the horse people to a couple of shows per year. So I do go to Madison, Wisconsin, and since you and I love Madison, we got to talking. But, for me, I have a home base here.
Yeah.
So I'm able to have the noise to show my work regularly, to promote First Fridays, to promote special events, and then that gives me somewhere to move out from.
Beautiful. Now, since this is an outdoor event, what happens if it rains?
Well, we do have a rain location. It's the Ault Center, which is just a couple blocks from the Sunken Gardens. So if you haven't been to the Sunken Gardens, 27th and Capitol Parkway, so it's right there on the corner, and there's free parking across the street. So it's a little farther down from the Rose Garden. That parking is under renovation, but you'll be able to see it. So it's free parking, free admission to the park. There'll be, like you said, all these art booths, like Jana's work will be there. I mean, everybody does something different, so you can actually get some artwork that day. There's about 15 musicians playing for free.
A lot.
Two dance troupes. Great. We have a storyteller. And there will be a couple food booths there, or food trucks there. So, you know, it's a free event for the community. Come and enjoy the whole event. And, you know, we do this in collaboration with Emeritus and Great Western, Party in the Parks, and the Parks Department. So there's about 150 volunteers. So it's a huge project for us. We work on it for a whole year. And so the Noise Art Gallery artists are super involved with this event. But it's wonderful. Bring a picnic lunch if you want to. It's like making a memory. You know, you don't want to say 3 weeks from now, oh, I wish I would have done that. You know, I keep hearing about it, and I forget to do it. But it is September 9th. It's from 11 to 7, so it's all day long. And it'll just be wonderful. Imagine walking through the garden. It's the theme, of course, is Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. So Steve Nozzle and Alice Reed came up with this Purple Rain theme. But the artists are doing, instead of just the prints idea, we're doing flower wreath halos, crowns, tiaras.
Right, because rain is spelled R-E-I-G-N.
Right, so yes. So we're going for that kind of rain. And there's actually going to be a booth where children can make their own little flower wreath and wear. And some of the jewelers, because you were saying, oh, what kind of medias are there going to be?
Yeah.
There's lots of different kinds of art paintings, pottery, sculpture, jewelry. In fact, we'll have a life-size bison sculpture. It's a metal sculpture by Mark Cazara that will also be at the garden. So, oh my gosh, don't, if you've missed it before, don't miss it this year. And if you've seen it before, you will definitely want it on your calendar. So it's not tomorrow, but it's a week from tomorrow, September 9th.
Yes, week from tomorrow. And in about 20 seconds or so, do you want to talk about tonight, too, at the Noyes Art Gallery?
Yes, please. Don't forget, First Friday, we have a special show. Ronnie Reed is our featured artist, and she does photographs that are on canvas and on different surfaces. So we, you know, the gallery, 80% of the gallery is different every month. So we always do First Friday, and we always do Third Friday. So if you can't come to First Friday, come to Third Friday. They're different artists. Some of them are demonstrating, showing how they do work. Mm-hmm. So, and then the studios upstairs are open tonight, which we don't always do. So you, if you don't mind walking upstairs, the studios are available for the public to see.
Seeing how those artists do their work. We've been talking about First Friday, also Third Friday at Noyes Art Gallery, and the Art in the Garden event, which is a week from tomorrow, Saturday, September 9th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Sunken Gardens in Lincoln. I've been talking here with Julia Noyes from Noyes Gallery and artist Jana Harsh. Thanks for telling us about it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Still ahead on the show, we'll hear about an arts tour you can take on your bicycle, the new performing arts season at the Merriman in Kearney, and exhibits at West Nebraska Arts Center in Scotts Bluff. Science fiction and family drama culminate into a story of acceptance in Dave McCreary's film Brigsby Bear. Joaquita Dreher has this review.
Oh, come on.
Kidnapped as a baby from the hospital by two science kooks, James Pope, played by Saturday Night Live regular Kyle Mooney, has lived in isolation underground somewhere in the USA since he was a baby. His parents, Ted, played by Mark Hamill, and April, played by Jane Addams, have assembled an animated outside world where animals and foliage appear real. Installed in the compound are secret codes that open and close doors. They wear gas masks when going outside. James's only means of entertainment is a television show called The Brigsby Bear Adventures, and new episodes are delivered on VHS tape to him by his parents. Do you remember the 1970s television series called Spectre Man and more recent Smallville? Well, add Teletubbies, Barney, and Power Rangers in the mix, Hoist the Moon from George Méliès' 1902 film Trip to the Moon, and you have the Brigsby Bear Adventures. Directed by Dave McCreary and written by Kevin Costello and Kyle Mooney, Brigsby Bear is a quirky offbeat film, and it envisions a world of acceptance no matter your circumstance. The FBI locate Ted and April, rescue James, and return him to his birth parents. The adventures begin as James, now 25 years old, finds friends who have an emotional and psychological investment in his project to turn Brigsby Bear into a film. For him, it is his only means of closing out his former world in isolation and embracing his new life.
Yes!
You, Brigsby Bear,
our keeper of the light.
Costello's and Mooney's story really is about using what you have in your own house to create happiness. James has memorized every Brigsby Bear episode, but with his return to his birth family, no more episodes are delivered to him. Since Brigsby Bear's world is all James has known, Brigsby Bear is the dross material he utilizes to keep him from the brink of insanity. Strangely enough, we can credit James's steady emotional and psychological course to the advice from his kidnapper father.
We have dreams and imaginations to help us escape. But no one can take that away from you. Ever.
Brigsby Bear's adventures rest inside of him. This element in the story works and sidesteps our expectation for a complete nervous breakdown by James after his capture and entry into his new life. Mooney is perfect in Brigsby Bear, playing him walking a very fine line between sanity and complete madness. Brigsby Bear plays through September 14th at the Ross Media Arts Center in Lincoln. Also playing through September 14th is Popeye, a story about a bond between an elephant and a man in crisis. For Friday Live, I am Joaquitl Dreher.
I'm Genevieve Randall. We are broadcasting from the Mill in Lincoln's historic Haymarket District this morning. A note that next week's show will be broadcast from Crete on the Doane University campus. There will be live music and highlights of area arts. And if you can join us and be a part of our live audience in Crete, please do. Refreshments start at 8 a.m. And if you can't, listen here on NET Radio or on netnebraska.org. The show starts at 9 a.m. Central. It seems simple enough to go without saying, without reliable shelter, families can't succeed and prosper. That's the subject of this year's Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction, Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City, by Harvard sociologist and MacArthur Grant recipient Matthew Desmond. All About Books host Pat Leach admits the subject of the book is serious, but the real-life stories within offer the reader so much.
A paradox of this book is that the subject is inherently depressing and distressing, and yet I found the book readable and looked forward to returning to it. The secret is Desmond's strong storytelling.
You can find a full review of Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City by Matthew Desmond on the All About Books page of our website, netnebraska.org/allaboutbooks. The third annual Lincoln Art Bicycle Tour is September 9th, so that's a week from tomorrow. Peggy Gomez from Gomez Art Supply and Tugboat Gallery is here, and photographer Mattel Rocky are here to tell us, are you are here? You are here. I think my grammar was off in that sense. Here to tell us how one may use their bicycle to see art. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Genevieve.
Great to see you both. So, September 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., bicyclists in the Lincoln area, they can ride from studio to studio and watch artists make art. How did this idea come about in the first place?
It was an idea I'd had for a long time, and then when I met Lana Bacon from Darger HQ when she was located down in Lincoln, she helped me, and without her I couldn't have done it. So together we were able to make the idea come to life.
Very nice. Is there a suggested route, or can you make your own route?
We have on our map a suggested route from 1 to 17, but of course you can do as few or all or any route that you want, and you can walk, you can bike, you can drive in your car. We like to say we don't judge.
We don't judge. All right. So besides something like, I think it looks like 30 to 40 artists or so creating art, even with things like chainsaws.
Yes.
At some locations. There's also live music performances as well. Tell me about those.
The live performances are new this year, and we have them scheduled. We have Robert Stewart, who's a playwright, so he's going to do snippets from a new play coming up from 3 to 4. And then Ryan LaBenz is going to do a performance art that I think includes sound in some way.
Okay.
And so he's scheduled from 2 to 3.
All kinds of interesting things to see as well. And Mattel, you're one of the artists who is on this tour, and you're a photographer. What will you be working on when people come by to see you next weekend?
It is difficult. I am a photographer that primarily works in a dark room, so that's always interesting to get a lot of people into that space. I won't have chainsaws. That will not be me. And I will be doing some large format portraits of people as the day goes on, and I think it's just a lot of fun and interesting to have people join you in the process.
Do people actually get to come in the darkroom with you?
Yeah.
Oh, my. How many people can you fit in there?
It's a fairly big space, so okay. I can get quite a few in. But it's usually people are kind of coming in smaller groups, so it works well, but you just never know. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get like a world record how many people you fit into a dark room.
I don't know why, but I just imagine myself showing up and the door is closed, and I'm like, oh, man, where'd they go?
I've got to figure out a way to put a sign that, do not walk in at this moment.
Right, and we're trying to develop. What inspires you to take a particular photo when you're working?
Oh, that is a tough one. I think, I honestly go over and over the different reasons I take photographs. And really, it's just things catch my eye that I want to see on film. And that's the best time to get your camera out.
Any other advice or anything else we want to mention for people who are thinking about taking the bicycle art tour next weekend?
It's a great opportunity to go into an artist studio and just, even if they're not working, see what the process is, how things are laid out. You know, we've got kids who are working in their apartments, you know, people who have really nice studios like Mattel, Karen Koontz, who has an amazing studio. It's just a wonderful opportunity that they should take advantage of. And I'm excited. We're trying it in the fall this year. The last 2 years, we've done it in the spring. So this is a change. So we're excited to see how that affects LBAT.
Bicycles, driving if you want, food, live performances, music, photography, printing, chainsaws, everything you could imagine. The third annual Lincoln Art Bicycle Tour. That's a week from tomorrow, Saturday, September 9th in Lincoln. I've been talking with Peggy Gomez and artist Mattel Rocky here to talk about it. Thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you, Genevieve.
For more information about the Art Bicycle Tour or anything you hear about on Friday Live, go to our website, netnebraska.org/radio, and go to the Friday Live page. A reminder that you can also watch the show from our website when you're at that page. That's available each and every week right here when you're at netnebraska.org. Just click on that button that says Live and On Demand. The Darger HQ Gallery in Omaha has a new show opening next Friday. Corbin Hirschhorn of KVNO tells us about it.
Next Friday, second Friday on Vinton Street, Darger HQ Gallery will open their next show, Fragile Boundaries. Darger brings together local and international artists, this time Camille Hawbaker, born in St. Paul, Minnesota and based in Omaha, and Jordanian-British artist Julia Ibini, currently living in Abu Dhabi. Despite living thousands of miles apart, the artists' works complement each other in that they both consider pattern, color, and texture, and conceptually respond to feelings on location and identity. Hawbaker has lived in various cities in the United States, and Ibini noted that concerns regarding identity might be endemic in the United Arab Emirates.
There is a very much a sense of displacement for someone like myself living in this part of the world, and a struggle, and a lot of people like myself over here struggle with this sense of identity of being Arab or of mixed background and living in the United Arab Emirates. And so quite a bit of my work kind of relates to that sense of displacement. In fact, there's an Arabic word, bidoun, which means essentially stateless, without a home. And I think a lot of us feel like that. We feel very transient here. And so it does impact my work.
Hawbaker's work utilizes textiles and text, which she burns into the fabric. The words she uses come from her own journaling.
I have a background in printmaking and my education, but I also kind of traveled my way into textiles. So I learned about the devoray process, or the burnout. It's also called burnout, and it's used mainly to make like cut velvet designs where like part of the velvet is gone. So if you've ever seen fabric like that, that's what it's used for. But I kind of adapted it to be a liquid instead of a paste, and I use it in a pen, so I can write with this flammable liquid, and then when I use heat, it burns wherever I wrote. And so I was kind of thinking about words and constructive words that are building up material, but also like language that kind of doesn't quite reflect what I'm trying to say. And so I felt like that was an interesting metaphor.
Ibini also works with fabric, and she draws influence from traditional Arabic geometric patterns, which are becoming less common in contemporary art of the region. She uses software and a laser cutter to digitally create and layer these patterns that are featured in the work.
I mean, I'm surrounded by it. But, you know, I've been surrounded by that sort of the patterns since I was a child. And so it gradually seeped in more and more into my work. And I'm always in awe of the craftsmanship in this part of the world, the kind of dedication to craft and the patterns that come through with that. And so I kind of take a modern approach to it, using digital means to look at those patterns and to look at that craft, but using digital computerized means to sometimes recreate what I see around me.
Fragile Boundaries will open at Darger HQ on Vinton Street next Friday, September 8th at 6 p.m. and run until November 5th. At 8 p.m., there will be an artist talk moderated by curator Alex Priest. For more information, visit dargerhq.org. For Friday Live, I'm Corbin Hirshhorn.
Support for programming on NET Radio comes from the 4th Annual Art Walk Aurora, where downtown Aurora businesses will be hosting local and regional artists Saturday, September 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. More information on Facebook at Art Walk Aurora NE. And support for humanities-related programming comes from Humanities Nebraska, delivering opportunities to engage with history and culture on the web at humanitiesnebraska.org.
Be sure to check out the arts calendar on our website, both to make plans and to add your event. The address is netnebraska.org/radio. Just click events. Here are some highlights. In addition to artist Jave Yoshimoto's solo exhibition at Wayne State College, Blue Cat Gallery and Studio in Wayne is hosting Urban Dreaming, featuring work by 7 regional artists with an opening reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. The Horse Nation, organized by the Heritage Center on the Pine Ridge Reservation, explores the cultural and spiritual significance of the horse as seen through the eyes of contemporary Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota people. That's at the Museum of Nebraska Art in Kearney, September 5th through January 7th. And on Thursday, Nebraska Wesleyan University's Fall International Film Series will be held in Olin Hall. For more information about these and other events, visit our website, netnebraska.org/radio. West Nebraska Arts Center in Scottsbluff features Wit and Wisdom, a retrospective. It's a duo exhibition featuring work of artists Richard Shaneman of Scottsbluff and Cheryl Wilkinson of Gehring. The opening reception was last night, and the work is on view at the gallery through October 1st. So joining me to tell us more about the artists and their work is Executive Director Donna Thompson. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Genevieve.
Well, let's start with Cheryl Wilkinson. What's her background and what is her work like?
Cheryl has been an artist most of her life. She is 95 years old, and I need to point out that this exhibit is a retrospective. So for Richard and Cheryl both, it's a representative of their life's work. And indeed, we have pieces that go back for Cheryl to the 50s and 60s that she made. She farmed with her husband, raised a family, and often as that goes, you know, as the children fly the coop and all of that, then you have more time for these kinds of endeavors. So her artwork making, you know, got stronger the older she got and the more time that she had. And she works in all media.
Is there a particular piece maybe you might describe of hers?
Well, what I'm most struck by when I look through the gallery, I hung the show yesterday, and we have close to 200 pieces between the two of them, so there's a lot of work. The thing that stands out to me are some of Cheryl's original batiks. So that is, you use a wax resist and dye on fabric, and she's created some really beautiful pieces, floral pieces in batik, and they're just wonderful. And to me, they remind me of Cheryl very much in terms of her personality.
So let's talk about the other artist whose work is in this then, Richard Shaneman, who is also a professional photographer for 38 years. What can we see in his pieces on exhibit at the gallery?
He was a commercial photographer, as you said, for 38 years, living and thriving in New York City. When he came back home to Nebraska, because his family farmed here, he grew up here farming, as Cheryl did, he joined the Artist Guild. First thing, he became inspired by all of the work that the other artists were doing, and it made him start to explore things he could do with his photography, which led him the digital age. Really, Richard embraced it. He went from film photography to making digital photographs and digitally manipulated photos. So that's what you would see in the gallery, a good portion of his. He has taken an original photo, and then he has done amazing, incredible things. Sometimes it's not even recognizable as the same photo. It's really unique.
We mentioned this is a retrospective, but why is the title of the collection Wit and Wisdom?
Well, if you knew these two artists, you would completely agree that that title is appropriate. Between the two of them, obviously their age and stage of life gives them plenty of wisdom, and they certainly have a lot of that. But the two of them, independently and together, because they're very good friends, they've known each other for many years, they are just full of life and humor, and they have such wonderful ways of looking at things. And so the wit and wisdom combined, we thought, really described them.
Is there anything else about either this exhibition or other things going on there at the West Nebraska Arts Center that you'd like to mention?
I guess for me, this is one of the most special shows that I've ever done since I have been at the Arts Center. And it's because of who they are. They have both worked and volunteered for the Art Center for years and worked in all aspects of the goings on here. It's very endearing to me to see their life's work together in such a unique show and to celebrate them.
That reminds me that I read this was sponsored, this show, by in memory of someone.
Pamela Kablin, yes.
And who was she?
So Dr. John Kablin continues to sponsor Richard's shows. He's done many here, solo shows, and he is indeed sponsoring this duo retrospective. His wife, Pamela, who passed away several years ago, she was a huge supporter of the arts and the Arts Center in all capacities, and a very, very special person. By those who know her, she is remembered with much affection and love. So we continue to honor her when Richard does his show, and Dr. Kablin is quite generous to continue to do that.
Donna Thompson is Executive Director for West Nebraska Arts Center in Scotts Bluff. Wit and Wisdom, a retrospective work by Richard Shaneman and Cheryl Wilkinson, is on view there through October 1st. Donna, thanks so much.
Thank you, Genevieve.
And you can link to more information about this and more on the Friday Live page of our website. That address is netnebraska.org/radio. I'm Genevieve Randall. The Merriman Center in Kearney usually presents an eclectic schedule of events each year, and this season is no different. Executive Director Denise Christensen drove all the way from Kearney this morning, didn't you? Right?
Kind of.
Just to tell us about their fall season. Thanks for making the drive, Denise.
So happy to be here and be in person to speak with you about our fabulous season.
We don't always get to do that.
And last year, we celebrated 10 fabulous years of the Merriman, so we are just capitalizing on all the excitement that created and the number of season members that we had last year from 43 communities in South Central Nebraska.
Wow.
So we really feel like we are a regional performing arts center for Central Nebraska and one of the largest performing arts center between Lincoln and, you know, the Denver area.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do try to provide lots of different experiences for our audiences. And we are beginning single ticket sales September 19th. And our season kicks off with Hank and My Honky Tonk Heroes, which is the story of Hank Williams. And our fabulous friends at the Lead Center are bringing this show to Kearney as part of Arts Across Nebraska. So we could not offer this kind of programming without their assistance. We are very grateful to the work that the staff and board of the Lead in their vision of bringing arts to Nebraska. It's very important. The singer-songwriter Jason Petty has created this show. It's an Obie Award-winning show. It's a story and life of Hank Williams, his songs interwoven, and of course some of the contemporaries that Hank had at that time. So it's a wonderful walk down memory lane of great country songs. So I'm really excited about that.
There's another kind of tribute act on there, right? Is it Hotel California?
Hotel California is not part of our season. We're just really trying to offer as much programming to different audiences. And so we know there's people out there that enjoy that that concert music. So we are bringing Hotel California, which is a salute to the Eagles. It's one of the best bands that does Eagles. They have been touring the country for years. It's a knockout show. So that is September 27th.
Okay.
No, is that right? September 21st. Yes.
We have the link on our website, too, so
thank
people
you.
Can check
thank
you.
Thank you. I will say, as we talked earlier, I've been traveling, and so my mind is, and I think I'm all in a different time zone. yes, that's starts, we have some programming going on before our season, but Hank and My Honky Tonk Heroes kicks off our season, mm-hmm. and then we have Broadway, so we go country, Broadway, 101 years of Broadway,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is...
That's a specific number of years.
That is another. But we had 100 years of Broadway a couple years ago, uh-huh. and our audience just raved. That was one of the best performances they heard. These five vocalists from Broadway, who all have Broadway chops and have experience, so they bring some of the songs and stories that they have from Broadway. So it's an amazing evening of incredible tunes that people know and love, you know, everything from the Phantom of the Opera, mm-hmm. to Les Mis, Evita, Cats, you know, all those great songs. And then just with this personal appeal of those actors and incredible vocalists to light up the stage with their songs. It's an amazing night.
Sounds good.
Then we turn the dial again, and we February we go to Winter Dance Party, which is a recreation of the day the music died, the concert that was in Clear Lake, Iowa, with Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. And oh my gosh, this is high energy. It's all those great songs from the late 50s, the Buddy Holly, the music, the saxophone, it's just a great night to go back and listen to those songs from the 50s and 60s. So in review, we have country, Broadway,
yeah.
Winter Dance Party. Then we'll dial it up a little bit, and we are presenting in March Let It Be, which is direct from Broadway in the West End. It's the story of it's reliving the past of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible journey of retelling of their incredible journey, you know, live music. There's a recreation, but oh my gosh, just iconic Beatles. How, you know, what a great, you know, so there you have the Beatles.
The Beatles.
And then we dial it way back with the Glenn Miller Orchestra in April.
Nice.
Our audiences absolutely adore and the Glenn Miller Orchestra is just the tops.
Your season, you've gone from everything from Broadway to big band to all everything in
right,
between.
Right, and I a like. Concert in between. And so it's been really successful for us to bring these national touring artists to Kearney, mm-hmm. and have people from all over the region and sometimes Lincoln come and enjoy and western Nebraska and northern Kansas, because that is really our mission, to be that central Nebraska Performing Arts Center for those people living there and beyond.
And in addition to the regular season for the Merriman, there's other performances there throughout the year as well. I noticed in December, it looks like there's a number of
right.
holiday performances,
exactly.
too, coming
so
up.
We also host shows, and one of the shows that we are hosting is the Moscow Ballet is bringing the Russian Nutcracker. It's a return engagement. These dancers are beautiful, artistic, incredible from Russia.
How did that come about? Because that seems like a snag there to have
no,
them.
No, well, and you know what? They seek us out because they develop a tour across the United States, and they love to come to smaller communities that do not have the opportunity for national touring ballet, which we can't swing most of the time. So right. we're thrilled that they want to come back. They also engage students in the area to do be on stage during portions of the Nutcracker, which is a great opportunity. And it's amazing because these artists are from Russia, and it's a great opportunity for these young dancers to have this cultural experience with people from another country. So that's exciting. That's happened right before Thanksgiving. So as you mentioned, you can go to our website and see what else is happening, because there's always something happening at the Merriman, that's for sure. Because we also host many other community events, everything from the Barber Shoppers to Crane River Theater. The local professional company has the Christmas show as well, handbell choir. So we encourage people, if they're traveling to Kearney, to look at our website and find out what's happening in Kearney, because besides the Merriman, there's lots going on.
And Kearney Concert Association, who I'm sure we'll be hearing from here in the coming weeks on
Absolutely.
Friday Live as well.
They're our partners in the arts, and they present a whole concert series that complements us. So if what we're offering is not your cup of tea, you need to check them out, because they have a lovely season as well.
Wow, keeping you on your toes, Denise.
Yes, but it's all great.
That sounds good. Denise Christensen is executive director there for the Merriman Performing Arts Center. Thanks so much for being in Lincoln in person here this morning to tell us what's happening.
It's fabulous to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. Coming up this morning on NET Radio, classical music on Morning Concert, and this afternoon, Laura Black and Classics by Request. Be sure to visit the NET website for podcasts of the show at netnebraska.org/radio. Thanks to everyone who makes Friday Live possible, including engineer James DeShano and associate producer Dave Hughes. I'm Genevieve Randall.
Support for programming comes from The Ross. Opening today is Brigsby Bear. An overprotected man-child's obsession with a children's TV show offers him a way into the real world when he takes over the canceled show. And City of Ghosts. A handful of citizen journalists in Syria document what's left of life in their home city under ISIS. Details at theross.org. Mari Sando Society presenting Walter Echohawk, Native American speaker, author, and attorney, Thursday, September 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Chatham State College Student Center. The Sandoz Symposium follows on Friday and Saturday. Details and registration at maurysandoz.org. And Nebraska Chamber Players, presenting a concert at the NET Studios in Lincoln on Friday, September 15th and Sunday the 17th, performing works by Mozart, Svelank, Arnold, and others. For more information, nebraskachamberplayers.org.